It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
We're back with our guest, Rosemary McKinney, and our wonderful co-host, Charlie Self, discussing how leaders rebuild their world in the face of diversity. And I want to invite our listeners to call into our show at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about matters of fear and identity, and I just want to have us encapsulate that we go through different emotions, and we have to sometimes readjust our identity and our sense of how we work with the world around us, but we don't always make decisions rooted in fear. Rosemary, any thoughts on that?
Yes. I think regardless of what your position was or what your level of responsibility was, whenever a person is severed from their position, they have to face the reality that the corporation they were with before, the organization they were with before, can survive without them. And no matter how confident you are, there needs to be a healing process before you can reenter the world. And the group that I sponsor in my home, our Thriving Group, has learned that one of the ways that we can heal ourselves is by moving very quickly into action. And the kinds of actions we advocate are getting involved in nonprofit or getting involved in volunteer organizations where you can use your skills to help others. And without exception, when we've done that, what we do is recognize our own value, the quality of our skills, the importance of our contribution. And in many cases, we even begin to refine and enhance those skills. So we're benefiting by doing good for others and bringing a sense of confidence and healing into ourselves so we can approach our search for the next step in a healthier way.
Mm. When loss touches a leader's life, they enter what I call the cauldron of adversity to engage in a time of reflection, reorientation, and a time of networking, and a time of gaining those new skills and ideas that you were just talking about, in the hope that it'll lead to new behaviors and credibility. Charlie, as you think about that reorientation, remolding process, what are some of your thoughts that you might want to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, I have faced multiple transitions and have been fortunate in that I've been able to be within some of the similar or common fields, but I have faced several transitions. First of all, you have to be honest with yourself and face the emotions and not make decisions based on those. Secondly, you really do need to have a handful of people, part of a team, you might say, who can really not only help you network for your next job, but help you see yourself in the most positive light and also see those areas that might end up, you know, being a snare or hurting you. So you need to be, you need to not isolate yourself, but have significant people around you. You also need to know what's coming. Now, there's so much stuff out about the future and trends. I'm not just talking about, you know, pop culture, but rather to really try to look ahead and to fashion what you have to offer in both the most specific way you can by way of knowing yourself, but also in the broadest possible applications. One of the interesting discoveries I've made the last 10 or 15 years in my life is that there's probably not an organization or company or industry that I couldn't bring something to. Now, whether they needed it this time or not, I don't know. But there's probably not a place that I couldn't bring something to. And at the same time, I'm more aware of what I'm not to spend my time on. So I would start there. I also think it's critical in these moments of transition to be able to look at your life plan. If you're married, do it with your spouse. If you've got good friends, but to begin to know where you are in life and begin to set goals accordingly.
You know, as I think about this whole issue of transition, some people have left their companies poorly, either out of a blind spot or a failing of some sort. You know, names can't come to mind, Nixon, etc., Carter, Bill Clinton, maybe Joseph in the Old Testament, and Paul in the New Testament, who needed the word of redemption over their lives. They are people who who have shown us that you can come back from mistakes and from problems and from blind spots and have a second chance at life to make a new community happen or to make a new life for yourself and those that you care about. Rosemary, as you think about leaders that you've known who have needed a second chance, is there a second chance in America?
Oh, absolutely. There's a second chance, there's a third chance. And I think the act of being between jobs is the kind of jolt that is almost a blessing for some people, because oftentimes we get so entrenched in the work at hand that we don't examine how well the position or the responsibilities are suited and compatible with what's really important to us in our lives. And what I can tell you about the people who have crossed my door, who have gone through this journey of rediscovery, as you called it, and are preparing for the next stage, one of the things that happens is you start to assess or start to even realize what it is you've missed in your life while you were so busy fulfilling that identity of the job that you had. And in many cases, the people that I've worked with are rediscovering their own passions, their avocations, time with their family, things that are really important. And what that translates to is they start seeking their next position is a realization that they want that position to be one that enables more balance in their lives and time for what's truly important for them.
Charlie, you want to jump in?
Well, I'm enjoying Professor Rosemary here very much. You know, one thing that I've discovered personally is when you kind of get over those feelings and you begin to make that transition, I like to position whatever I'm doing in terms of work within a larger sense of stewardship or service to the world in the global sense and to my local community. And so one question I would encourage all of our leaders who are listening to ask is, you know, what is my contribution to be to the world? Now, we can't all do everything. We can't do a lot of things. But what's my larger contribution? In addition to the work that I do and the family that I raise, as part of a sense of mission, and regardless of faith commitment, regardless of particular personal philosophy, having a kind of a world-directed or community-directed ethic really changes the questions that you ask and really helps reorient you.
You know, it seems that some of these lessons apply to organizations and not just to the individual leader. That is, there's a lot of organizations that get into trouble, and they are in trouble because they had poor leadership at some level or maybe at many or all levels. And these organizations are filled with good people who are looking for redemptive leadership. As we think together this morning about organizations that need that kind of leadership, what comes to mind, Rosemary?
Well, so many companies at this particular point in time are finding themselves in situations that are dire. And not just the leaders, but employees as well are all looking at how did we get here? How could just a couple of years ago we be at such an affluent point in time and now find ourselves struggling to survive? And I think those companies that are going to make it out of this situation in a very successful way are those who are willing to look at themselves very candidly and say, what motivated us in the past? What was the basis for the decisions that we made? And how do we have to change that motivation, change our priorities and our values, if you will, in order to survive and be healthy? And I think part of that self-examination is going to be looking at more than the profit motive, looking at in the days of the quality movement of the 80s and 90s, the three legs of the stool, which were not just profit and stakeholders, but also your people and your clients. We're looking more recently at what's now called the triple bottom line, where you're looking not just at your profit, but also at the planet as well as your people.
You know, it's interesting to step into some corporate lobbies and to see their value statements and to see their mission statements. And then when you talk to the employees, you realize that maybe 50% of the people at that company are disengaged from their work, according to a Harvard study that I recently read, and that there's so many people who just believe that the leadership is sharing propaganda through that means about why they think the company is a great place to work. But when the reality is being experienced, people don't feel valued in the workplace.
Well, I want to jump in here because I've done a lot of master planning for organizations, and one of my great concerns is that all the mission or vision or value statements, I'll call them the nice posters,
right,
need to be operational, measurable, and assessed, and need to be known and understood. It's really fun to go into a company and hear every type of worker at that company be able at about an 80 or 90% level to share the heart of what they're doing and to believe in it. And I've been in those organizations. And then, of course, more often you're in the ones that you've referred to. And so it's making sure that those things are operational. That's the practical side. One step up from that is increasingly the story is going to be as important as the product or the service. You know, people love stories, and we're not talking about myth or fiction, but a genuine sense of where does this fit in with my view of life and the story of the company and the story of what they're doing. For example, people are willing to spend a little bit more money for organic produce or organic meats and other kinds of things, and they like hearing the story behind the local farms that produce it. People are willing to spend a little bit more for garments that are fair trade, when they know the story of who's being helped, fair trade coffee. And I mention this because it's not just marketing, but it's this genuine end-to-end ethic that really is beginning to move the world market.
I think if you're in Silicon Valley with some of the top companies, you'll realize that their business model that's rooted in the internet means that the internet now opens up the possibility for clients to hold the company accountable for the very process of manufacturing, and that the vendors are involved in the business of the company in ways that they might have not been before, and that all of a sudden the employees, the vendors, the clients, and the leadership are in a flow process that is leading to breakthrough thinking at a collaborative level that has not been experienced before.
Well, I think so. And Rosemary, as you've been listening to the fellow professionals, do some of them want to at least feel like they're fulfilling a purpose greater than the quarterly bottom line?
I think everybody wants to fulfill that purpose, and I think that we tend to get mired into the goals and priorities of the company we work for. But the act of being away from that forces us to take a look at where is the real meaning? Where is the real contribution, and how can I make a difference? And I think that for that reason, those that are blessed, if you will, by finding themselves between jobs have that chance to really assess what's important. And I think when they reenter the market, they'll be able to bring that focus on values that they gain, that refocus, if you will, on values that they gain during that time between jobs. And to your earlier point, Charlie. To your earlier point, Charlie, about the mission statements in the lobby, I suspect that most companies have what it takes to get back on solid ground if they take a look at what they've already got established as their mission and their purpose and their values, and to your point, begin to operationalize those at every level in the organization.
Yep.
Well, as we go into our second break, I want to remind listeners that our listener call-in line is 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888. Go for it. We'll be right back for more world-changing leadership talk.